It's not commonly preached, but it's definitely what the Lord is speaking to me about. A great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun with the moon under her feet and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns. His tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that he might devour her child the moment it was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the desert to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven, "Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not like their lives as much as to shrink from death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury, because he knows that his time is short. When the dragon saw that he had been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to his child. The woman was given the 2 wings of a great eagle, so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the desert, where she would be taken care of for a time, times, and half a time out of the serpent's reach." Mouth. "Then from his mouth the serpent spewed water like a river to take the woman and sweep her away with the torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus." And that's it. All right, now I want to comment on that end thing there. Those who obey God's commandments. And that's a big thing today, because so many are teaching that we don't have to keep his commandments. Now, these are not the commandments of Moses. These are the commandments that God tells us to do. Each one of us, just like he was talking to, who was up here, was saying, you know, God, Lloyd, just like that. See, that's God's commandments. And to Mario, he was commanding him, do it, do it. And that's what it means, not the commandments of Moses. According to the book of Galatians, those are over and done. As God's commandments today. And several times Jesus said to do what I say. He that keeps my commandments is he that loves me, and so on. And we've had this terrible teaching where people say this is talking about Jews because Christians have no commandments. But obedience is probably the primary theme of the Bible. See, because the original problem was disobedience to God. And obedience is probably the primary theme of the Bible. Just remember that. What God wants is obedience, not grace, not mercy, not compassion. They all have a place, but he wants everyone to be obedient. And the kingdom of God is the doing of God's will. Now, back to the first verse, people have speculated on who the woman is. Well, the woman is the church. You can tell that. She's clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars. It's the Christian church. Then the question comes, she's giving birth. To whom is she giving birth? Well, the average opinion is she's giving birth to Christ. But if you'll notice back in Isaiah, the 66th chapter, Isaiah 66, it's around verse 7, I think, about the only one I didn't write down. It's the last chapter of Isaiah, and it starts in
verse 7.
What?
It is verse 7. You are correct.
Verse 7?
Yeah.
Okay, now notice this carefully. And notice that it's in the context of the Lord dealing with his enemies. And you know, it's a marvel to me that the man Isaiah, who was way back several hundred years before Christ, could prophesy about our day. Stop to think of that. What this is talking about and what Revelation 11 is talking about is today. And this is what he says. Before she, and that's referring to Zion or the church, goes into labor, she gives birth. Do you see that? So that's not talking about Revelation 12, because that woman travailed. Is that correct? Are you tracking? That woman travailed. But in this case, she delivers a son. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ, who came before the church travailed. You get that? So Revelation 12 is not talking about the Lord Jesus, because he was born before the church travailed. You got to get that if you want to understand what I'm talking about. Then it says, whoever has heard of such a thing, can a country be born in a day or a nation be brought forth in a moment? Yet no sooner is Zion in labor. See, she gives birth to her children. Not a son, but to her children. Now, what that's talking about is Christ, but it's Christ formed in us. See, my little children of whom I travail until Christ be formed in you. And, what was I going to say? You better pray for me because I seem to be having problems this morning, but not so bad that they bother me. Verse slipped my mind. I had it. But it'll come to me. All right. You'll see pretty soon what I'm getting at here. Revelation 12. We'll get down to verse 3. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon, which of course is Satan, with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his heads. His tail swept 1/3 of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. Now, I'll tell you what the burden of the Spirit has given to me, and it's very pronounced last night, and it is now. The Lord wants me to issue a kind of a caution that in the day in which we live, there's going to be an Antichrist is, or Satan, but it's Antichrist actually, will be given the ability to mount into the heavens. These stars that are flung down are not the evil angels. They're the Christians. The evil angels are not stars in heaven. It's the Christian people who are in Christ, in the throne of God. And I've got more notes here. In Ephesians 2:6, "And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus." And again, in Colossians 3:1, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God." So once you truly receive Christ, your inner nature, your born-again nature, ascends and in Christ and is now at the right hand of God. That's true right now. You're not aware of it because your conscious presence is on the earth. But your spiritual nature, see, it says in 1 Corinthians 15:45 that you were a living soul, but that dies, and what you're being made is a life-giving spirit. Lloyd, that's 1 Corinthians 15:45, is a living spirit. So you see, you're changing what you are. You're changing what you are. And the salvation of the soul is to become a living spirit. The soul was not meant to be eternal. In fact, if you study back in the first couple of chapters of Genesis, you'll see that not only was mankind a living soul, but animals also were souls. And we have an animal soulish nature. But Christ is a life-giving spirit, and we are being made like him. So we are positioned at the right hand of God in Christ right now, not our soul, not our body, but our born-again spiritual nature. And do you know what? It will be there for eternity. It will always be there. That's in Revelation chapter 3, verse 12. If you live a victorious life, God will make you a pillar in his temple. And it says you shall go no more out. You remember that? You shall go no more out. You say, well, how do I get around? Don't I serve God? Don't I bring justice to the nations? Yes, you will have, as Jesus has, the power of multiple presence. But your original presence will be anchored forever at the right hand of God, just as is true of Jesus. No matter where he goes, he's always at the right hand of God. Now, a soul does not have that power, but a life-giving spirit does. You'll always be there. Now, there's an awful lot of people there who have been raised with Christ. And in the last days, in these days when the woman is travailing to bring forth, what she brings forth is the body of Christ. And these are all kings. These are all rulers. That's why it says in Revelation 3:11, don't let any man steal your crown. This is so far out, it'd be a marvel if you get a hold of it. I'll make it as clear as I can. But as I was sitting this morning looking at the back wall, where God always shows me what he's doing right now, what I saw was the Lord as a gentle shepherd leading his sheep. And I thought, how does that fit what you put on my heart? And the answer is this. All my Christian life, I have been preaching war and the overcoming life. And that is my message. I am not a nice pastor making everybody feel good and safe so that they're in the Lord and the Lord is leading them and he goes out after the 90 and 9. That's the way Jesus is. He is a good shepherd. But what God has given me from the beginning is this war against evil. And so a lot of times if I seem unpastor-like, it's because that's what I am. That's my message. And so the Lord is talking to me now about what he's doing now and in the next few years. See, we're in a very precarious place in the world. Now it seems like we're all happy and everything. But I was looking at some pictures the other day of an Iraqi father, a Christian. See, ISIS is doing is going through and asking the little children, will they accept Allah? And the children are saying, no, Jesus, Jesus. And they cut off their heads. Now, we think, oh, that must be another world. No, these are Christian people like us. And what was so touching was a father holding his 10-year-old girl in his arms and looking so perplexed. And she was a beautiful girl, except that she had no head. It was just a red, pulpy mass. Now, that seems far off. And those things don't bother me probably as much as they should, because I know that little darling is up with Jesus. But see, you've got to be a pretty strong Christian to combine both worlds in your thinking and to realize, all right, my son gets killed, big deal. He's a lot happier now than he was here. But you see, that means you're coming out of your soulish thinking and into spiritual thinking to realize if they mow down 100,000 people, they're all up there praising the Lord. See? To absent from the body is present with the Lord. So I'm not grieving over this little girl. I am grieving over her father. And I'm telling you that so you will realize that we are living in a kind of a fake world in America. And the rest of the world knows it. And if some of the major powers got together and included ISIS and declared war on the United States, they probably would win. Because there's big powers out there. China now, it's being said, is number one in gross national product. For the first time, the United States has been beat out now as far as gross national product. China is number one. See, the Lord told me 5 years ago, and I've been telling you all along, America's going to lose its place of leadership because of sin. And that's what's going on out there. And it isn't that our service people aren't courageous and strong in our armies, although there's been so much foolishness at the atomic weapons site that they've had to fire most of the commanders because of the monkey business at place where our silos are. And President Clinton, can you believe this? During his tenure, lost the suitcase with the codes in it for atomic war that the president is supposed to always have with him. And for about 6 months, he couldn't find it. That's the mess our country is in. While we're all Lady Gaga's, you know, and all this fun and nakedness and all this is going on, and God is seeing it, and he's withdrawing his covering. So we very well could be beaten in a war, and if the ISIS comes through America, you can imagine what it would be like. And so I'm not talking about something that is not probable. It is probable, given what is happening every day. So the Lord in his goodness is telling us to get ready, because in this time of peril, a third of the people who are at the right hand of God are going to be tempted down and hurled down to the earth along with Satan. Now you say, oh, no, surely they're the evil angels. No, they're not. If you read down more in the chapter, you'll find that the evil angels are later. Satan and his angels are cast down later. They're not the stars of heaven. Now, if I can keep all my stuff straight, let's look at Daniel chapter 8, 9 through 12. Now, we've been through this before, but probably I've given you a little more on it so that it will click more. This is what the Lord told me to preach today. So I'm not into your daily business and problems with your kids at all. I'm into the things that God has given me to tell you to warn, and of course it's going out over the internet. Out of one of them came another horn, that's Antichrist, which started small but grew in power to the south and to the east and toward the beautiful land, that's Israel. It grew until it reached the host of the heavens. See, never before in history, after God kicked out Satan in the beginning, has he permitted evil to get up where the host is, the saints. This is new, because God is getting ready to shake all things. We'll get to that in a minute, and I'll show where that is in Hebrews. And it threw some of the starry host down to the earth. You see that? Now, how many were thrown down? Do you remember Revelation 12? A third. Do you ever realize in history how few saints there have been? One time God said he went through Jerusalem, he could not find one man that told the truth. God is not interested, Doug, in numbers of people. If he can get one person to believe him and obey him, that's a marvelous thing in the sight of God, because the thousands of people around him are doing church. And he found one person that will listen to him, one person who will do what he is saying. They're rare, because church is a culture. It's not salvation. Jesus did not come to build churches. You remember that as he and Moses and Elijah were leaving, Peter, the Bible says, not knowing what he is saying, said, let us build three shelters here for you and Moses and Elijah. And then they disappeared. See, that's in man. We've got to do something about this. We've got to build a church. We've got to solidify this and make sure that others... I had to laugh when the disciples came and said, there's other people casting out devils. What should we do? You know, that's the attitude of the church. We can't have other people doing this. This is our game. And so it is, because all the churches are the works of people. I don't say that's evil. That's just what we are. But what God is looking for is genuine people who are related to him, like Moses and Elijah, who are ready to die for Christ, who live for Christ. And that's not true of 1 in 1,000 church people in America. They're not offering their bodies a living sacrifice. They're not denying themselves, taking up their cross and following Jesus. They're not using their talents. They don't even know what they are. And we think, well, you know, that's the way everybody is. That's true. But remember what happened to the person who didn't use his talents. See, we can't grasp the seriousness of what God is saying. One guy buried his talent. He didn't rob any banks. He didn't commit adultery. He didn't lie, steal, hate, or anything. He just didn't use what God had given him. Now, do you know what God has given you? Well, I don't have time to think about it. I work all day and I'm tired. How can I be praying and asking God what I'm supposed to do? Do you watch television? Then use that time. We say, oh, you can't be that serious. I am dead serious. I'm trying to prepare you for what is coming. It won't be like it is now. It may be like a rock. They are Christian people, the same as us, having their kids' heads cut off. That is truth and life and has been since the beginning. I think of Tamerlane the Skull Builder. We don't realize what we are in is kind of a fool's paradise. We've got to get closer to Jesus. Amen. Romans 12 says for us to offer our bodies a living sacrifice to God. And then what flows from that is all the gifts of the Spirit in Romans 12. He that has prophecy and all this follows the admonition to present our bodies a living sacrifice. How many of us here know what our commission is from the Lord? You know what that means? That means we are disobedient. That's what it means. Well, it can't be that serious. It's worse than I'm telling you. God loves that rocky man and his 10-year-old daughter just as much as he does you and your children. Do you believe that? Okay, then you realize what I'm saying. This happened a couple of weeks ago. Now, our government is fumbling. I don't know what they're doing. I'm not into politics. Now, look at this. It threw some of the starry host. Now, you see, I told you, when we receive Christ, we become part of the starry host. We're in Christ at the right hand of God. Now, God is going to permit Antichrist to ascend into that place and tempt us. There's another place in Daniel says the offering will be cut off and the oblation, all the rest, meaning that people on the earth will not be able to pray because their prayers will be blocked. Can you imagine going to prayer and you can't pray? And there's no more sacrifice for sin available except out in the woods wherever the church is. The church will be in hiding. And there will be deliverance in Mount Zion. But you'll have to go out there like the early Romans did in the catacombs and live there. That happened to people in Rome. They had to live underground. And then it says, it set itself up as great as the commander of the arm of the Lord. It took away the daily sacrifice from the Lord, and his sanctuary was thrown down. And then three awesome words. Because of rebellion. Whose rebellion? The host. Those like today, we're at the right hand of God in Christ, and remember, I'm speaking now, so it goes out over the internet. I don't know what the current hits are. Do you remember, Guy? No. Last time he reported, it was just shy of 500,000. And you got to figure each one of those people will tell two or three what they heard the old man raving about this morning. So don't feel, you know, that I'm talking to you or criticizing you. I'm not. I'm venting what God has put in my heart and mind since last night. He's saying that people don't realize he commanded them to use their talents. And 1 Corinthians 12, it says, the Spirit gives to every man as he will. Every man. But you see, America, we'd be better off living in Uganda and sitting in our hut and looking at the mountains of the moon. But what we're doing is laboring away in the furnace to make money. And it's robbing us. Because we don't know even what God wants us to do. Gideon. It's not of God that we labor in the fire to make money so we can eat. And Jesus told us that many times. But we're caught up in a culture and we can't get away from it. But there is a way of getting away from it, and what is that? Praying. You can say to the Lord, I don't have time to pray. I need to pray. I need to find out what you want me to do. And if you don't do that, you're disobedient. And it was because of disobedience that the stars were cast down. God says, offer your body a living sacrifice. And then it lists all these. He that prophesies, let him wait on his prophecy and so on. We don't know. Maybe everybody in this church could prophesy if they were more into prayer and the Lord than they were into making money. That's possible. Because he says you all may prophesy one by one. Well, scare me to death. Well, we heard about fear this morning. We know what to do about it. And I preached to you about how many years now we need to think along with Christ as he is thinking. That's how he lives with the Father. Speak along with Christ as he is speaking. Act according to the way we see the Lord acting in prayer. That's how he lives with the Father, and that's how we are to live with him. So that we know what Jesus is thinking. If you don't know what Jesus is thinking or his will, get serious about it. I don't say he'll speak to you. Not everybody can hear the voice of the Lord like Lloyd heard. That is not true of everybody by any means. But I'll tell you this, if you tell the Lord and say, I want to think with you today, I want to speak with you, I want to behave with you today, you don't have to hear anything. It will happen. But you see, we have to wrest ourselves out of our culture because everybody is going the opposite way, including all the churches. So we have to forget what's going on around us and what seems real and everything else, and say, Lord, I want to serve you like you serve the Father. And you've got to say that and mean it and keep it up until your life changes. Otherwise, you're in rebellion, and you'll be cast down from your place. Let's look at Revelation 3:11. I'm not talking now about the Lord's 99 or the rest of the fold that are going around and the Lord is gently leading them. I'm talking about God's kings. You. That God has chosen. That's the whole reason he created mankind. Do you know that? So he could draw out a company of people, and they're not many in number, who can install and maintain the kingdom of God for eternity. And that's what you've been called to do. That's what it means to be elect. That's what it means to be a member of the body of Christ, of the royal priesthood. That doesn't mean that you're going to be the same as the Lord's millions of sheep that love him and that he guides. That's not who you are. Now you look at that verse in Revelation 3:11. You see what it says? I can't see it. I don't have my Bible here. Hold on to what you have so that no one what? Well, what is a crown? Oh, we think, well, every Christian has a crown. No, the rulers have crowns. And they rule by the power of an everlasting life like Melchizedek. They live by the power, they rule by the power of eternal life. That's what you are called to be. You're not called to be just someone who works, plays, reproduces, and goes through your life and end up old. That's not what you're called to do. You're called to be a priest and king of God. And if you don't seize it, you're going to lose it. I'm not talking now about the average little sheepy that the Lord helps and strokes their head every once in a while. I'm talking about his kings. That's what you are. This is the time. How many remember the scripture that says, many that are last shall be first? Amen. You remember that? That means first in the kingdom, last in time. You remember the parable when the rich man sent out the people to work in his vineyard and he promised them all $5 and they all, and then another group came and he promised them, and finally people came at the last minute. And so when everybody came in to collect their wages, he paid them all the same, even though some had labored for hours and some had just, you know, just gone out there and it was time to come back. They all got $5. And the other one said, the people said to him, look, we've borne the burden and heat of the day, and these people have not worked for any length of time at all, and yet you're giving them, all of us, the same money. And he says, is your eye evil because I'm good? Let's take your $5 and go on your way. I promised you $5. You got $5. And that's an illustration of this, many that are last shall be first. Here we are profiting from the pain and labors of the prophets and people that have gone before us since the time of Abel, having these examples, prophesying from them. And God says, now is the time the thrones are vacant. Get busy. I don't know how long I've got to talk to you. I don't know, and I'm not making anything out of myself. I don't know anything except what the Lord tells me. And he told me, and I said, those people are tired of getting yelled at. He says that they've got to be warned. Now look at Hebrews. And look, it says, and truth was thrown to the ground. If there ever was a time in my life that I have seen lies put forth as truth and truth put forth as lies today. And one of the biggest examples is the people of color. And you know, a few people are speaking out and saying what you're reading in the paper is all wrong. The problem is that the men have children and then leave their families. That's the problem, not the white police. Another lie. Lies, lies, lies. It says truth was thrown to the ground. So don't expect justice or truth anymore in the media or anything else in America. Because we have sowed to sex, lust, and money. Those two big gods in America. The dollar and sex, lust, and naked women. That's America in 2014. And you and I are caught up in it. It's cultural. The churches are cultural. Now, I want you to pay attention to this. At that time, Hebrews 12, verses 26 and 27. Some of you, I swear, look like toads in a hailstorm. All right. At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised. Once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. When you shake something, why do you shake it?
To get off anything that's clinging to it.
That's right. To get stuff out of it that doesn't belong there. That's why God's going to shake the heavens. The heavens! The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken. Now notice carefully. All right, boys and girls. What is shaken is that which has been created. In other words, we are supposed to be in the rest of God, meaning we have ceased from our own works as God did from his. Well, if everything that's been created, and that's what people do, that's what we do, we create churches. Let us make three shelters. See, immediately he got away from the fact, Peter did, that he was looking at three men who had died many years previously and were in glory. He was looking at the Son of the Living God, the Messiah, and he's in his mind is, we've got to build three shelters. That's human nature. Now, God would say, what you're getting from these three men as they were discussing Jesus' death that was in the future, he said, that's the real stuff. That can't be shaken. But your shelters can be shaken, the things that are made. Now, the things that you have done without God's inspiration, without having any idea what God wants, all of that can be shaken. The only thing that can't be shaken in your life is that which God has done. Now, God spoke to Mario and he spoke to Lloyd. That cannot be shaken because it wasn't made. And so what's in your life that God tells you cannot be shaken. But what you get out, decide to go out and build three shelters, that can be shaken. Everything you've made can be shaken. Notice what it says. So that is created things. Well, what cannot be shaken? What God has done, that cannot be shaken. Your salvation cannot be shaken. The church can be shaken. The buildings can be shaken. Everything can be shaken. Whatever you're buying and selling, that can all be shaken. Marrying and giving in marriage, that can be shaken. Buying and selling, all can be shaken. Everything can be shaken. That's what he says. I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. See, when in the time of the giving of the law on Sinai, he shook the earth. But now he says, I'm going to shake not only the earth, but I'm going to shake the heavens. And he says that which cannot be shaken may remain. And the only thing in your life and my life that cannot be shaken is that which God has done. But all of our religious antics and whatever it is that we have put together, Gideon, that can be shaken and removed. Until we stand before God and we look at the Lord Jesus Christ and he says, what did you do with your life? And you will too, and so will I. They say, what did you do with your life? What did you do for me? Well, Lord, I did this, and I made $1 million, and I built buildings, and I gave to the poor, and I did the other. Were you hearing from me? Did you know that? Did you think that's what I wanted? Were you guessing? Now, Lord, we can hear in one way or another. Some of us hear more readily the words of the Lord than to others. But every person that prays in sincerity to God, God hears that and will respond. And one way or the other, you will see your prayer coming to pass. Amen. A living sacrifice means that instead of devoting yourself to your own welfare, you devote it, you listen to God. And see, what is he saying to me? And that takes time. You can't watch the television and pray at the same time. I'm not saying don't ever watch the television. I'm not saying that, or the iPod, or the whatever kind of pods there are. Facebook. I wouldn't watch Facebook. It's a waste of time. Bible says redeem the days. Redeem the time, because the days are evil. All the old people say, yeah, imagine them kids wasting all their time with those iPods. And then these old geezers are out playing golf. Yes. Don't look at the young people. We don't call them that anymore. We call them brothers and sisters. Don't look at the smaller youngers and sisters and criticize them for their waste of time when you're wasting time. And I'm not saying to live tense and anxious. God will give you times to relax. I'm talking about getting serious with God and quitting the American way of death, which the Christian church is in America. It's death because it pretends to be life, and it is not. They don't know what God wants. They have all kinds of good works. They have more good works than a dog has fleas. Churches do. Christians do. And they have not heard from God. They just know this is we should feed the poor. We should clothe the naked. We should do this and all that. And God may be saying you're supposed to be tending to your own household. because your kids are going down the tubes. See, we have to hear from God. We can't just say, this is a good thing. How do we know it's a good thing? It may not be what God wants at all. I don't know why we have such a hard time, all of us, to listen to God. And Lloyd was kind of implying that. You know, to listen to God. To actually, a phrase that came through my mind recently is wait on the Lord. I've seen that 1,000 times as you have, and I thought, what does that mean? Wait on the Lord. So I decided to wait on the Lord a little bit. You know, that's difficult in America because there's something we got to do. If we don't do it, the whole house will cave in. Wait on the Lord. What do you think about that, Patty? Just wait. Wait. Say, I'm wasting time. Not if you're waiting on the Lord, you're not wasting time. You got to wait here. And we're all so frenetic and wound up that it's very difficult. Because we have the restless leg syndrome or something else. If we wait on the Lord. Yeah. And I said, God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. That's already true. We're there and we'll be there forever if we can hold on to our crown. But we don't hold on to it by buying and selling, planting and reaping. That's what, didn't Jesus use those terms? None of them are sinful. He says, then the flood came and carried everybody away. It's just that the needs of life, especially in America, consume our time. And you know, someday each one of us is going to stand before Jesus and say, what did you do for me? Ah, bah, 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 bah. Lord, I'm not sure I did anything for you. And the Lord will say, that's truth. That's true. You never even inquired what I wanted. You didn't think I'd speak to you. You're assuming that. Maybe you will. What did the Lord say? No man. Now, by definition in the Bible, a disciple is a Christian. Okay, the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. All right. Now, what did the Lord say was a requirement for a Christian? Oh, there was silence in heaven for the space of half an hour.
Let the Lord obey his commandments.
Huh?
Let the Lord follow him and obey his commandments.
Yes, he said that. Love the Lord with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. He said, on this hangs all the law and the prophets. But there's one place where he said, no man can be my disciple, which you could say, no man can be a Christian, or a woman. By the way, Adolfoy. Yeah, woman, man and woman. All right. No man can be my disciple, be a Christian, unless he... That's right. That's right. We have to deny ourselves and take up our cross of deferred desire, put our treasures in heaven, and follow Jesus 24/7. How do you follow Jesus? You pray. You listen. You get in the habit of waiting on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. That's not a waste of time. That's the best thing, use you can make of time. That's right, Betsy. That's the best. Nodding her head back. That's the best use you can make of time, is to wait on the Lord, and let him know you're waiting on him, Lord. I'm not sleeping. If you go to sleep, big deal. You probably need it. But when you wake up, say, Lord, I'm still waiting on you. And wait, the Lord loves that. That's why it's in the Bible. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. But we say God helps those who help themselves. Bad news. God helps those who wait on the Lord. But I got to be busy. I saw a vision one time, a young man that I knew, and he was working and working, one thing and then another, desperately working. And there was another older lady, and I knew these people, and she was wandering around graciously, holding a bouquet of flowers in her hand. The spirit world is real, people. And God, you wouldn't be in this church with this crazy pastor, you want to call him that, probably Pester's a better name, unless you were called to be a king. Right? Let no man take your crown, not take your life, not take your salvation. No, let no one take your crown. So, that's not a little Reynolds Wrap crown, you know. Compared to Melchizedek, it's the power to govern by an endless life. And why would you get this? Because God needs you. Because he's establishing a kingdom, and he wants people to install it and maintain it. And that's what you're called to do. Now, we saw that these stars were thrown down to the ground. Didn't say they were thrown down to the lake of fire. Didn't say they were thrown down to hell. It says they were thrown down to what?
To
the earth. Which means they'll suffer the things of life just like everybody else. They won't be protected by the 91st Psalm. And you don't want to be like that in the days that are ahead in America. You don't want to be subject to the things that the world's going to be subject to. Like this Iraqi man. Such a fine looking man. On his face was like, you know, what happened? You know, one minute she's my little girl playing with her dolls. The next moment she's a corpse. Headless. And they were putting the heads of the children on stakes so people could see them. Well, I don't know much in this life, but I don't have confidence in a God that would lead people to do that. Okay, you've been very good. Now we're going to have communion if you want to go up to the altar with your family or by yourself or what. But my suggestion is you tell the Lord, I heard this guy yelling for an hour, and he's telling me I need to get closer to Jesus so that I can stand and help others during the calamities that are coming because of the abortion and the nakedness, sex, everywhere you turn. So you can come to the altar and tell the Lord that and believe that you'll hear, and you will hear. One way or another, you will hear. I promise you that. Money back. I promise you that. One way or the other. Maybe like Lloyd did, clearly in your head. Maybe in circumstances. But you will hear. And tell the Lord you want to be deeper in Jesus. Because Brother Thompson said you're going to have to be to stand and help others to stand. If you're totally righteous, totally obedience to the Lord, the Lord will take that into consideration when he looks at your loved ones. Yeah, when there's somebody making intercession, God remembers. Like Lot, God remembers. Maybe a little music, Lloyd. Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. Shall we hold the bread before the Lord? And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, how many times in history have your people been, the preachers prepared them for what was coming? And it came, and they died, and they went up before you with a great company rejoicing and praising the Lord. So help us today not be fearful at all, but just be intent on doing what Christ wants us to do as an individual, that we may save ourselves and those who hear us. Grant it, Lord. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. Shall we hold the cup? Oh, did we eat the bread? I don't think we ate the bread yet, did we? I know I didn't eat mine. All right, let's partake of the bread. The same way after supper, he took the cup. Shall we hold a cup before the Lord? Saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Lord Jesus, we can read these words. It's hard to picture a 33-year-old man passing around the bread and the wine and saying, this is my body and this is my blood of the covenant. Such a man, so much strength, so much faith in God. He laid down his life for us, Lord. I pray we'll lay down our life for him. Grant it to us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Shall we partake? What comes to me is all hail the power of Jesus' name. Those at the altar can stay at the altar. There's no need for you to get up. Stay at the altar. How many love the Lord? Oh, man. I hope he didn't hear that. How many love the Lord?
Amen.
Amen.